For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Double Coverage Podcast. I'm Stacy Blackwood with my co-host, Jake Thomas. Jake, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing good, man. Just ready to hit this SEC Championship game, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great matchup.
Sure is.
This is kind of going to be our, you know, SEC Championship special from the podcast, and we're excited about it. It's been a long week. It seems like it's taking forever for the game to get here, but it's just it's just a day away now. So we're excited about that. And a couple things that we want to kind of talk about the game and the matchup and what's interesting to us about it and what we think may happen in the ball game. To me, there's the one key factor in the game is, will Georgia be able to generate a pass rush on Tua?
Right.
And that Georgia defensive line has not had, you know, that great of a pass rush this season. And we all know that when Tua has the opportunity to step in the pocket and has time to go through his progressions, that he is deadly with the football.
Yeah, he is.
He can spread it out to a multitude of receivers. And they're all capable of making a big play and making a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about Tua's arm, but you also got to remember, he also got some speed as well when he runs. I was watching some footage from the Auburn game, and, they tried to close in the pocket on him, but they left some gaps open for him to run through, and that's the thing with Tua. You know, if he gets outside the pocket, he's still got his eyes downfield. And if there's nobody open, he can take off and run with it. But if there's somebody open, he can get the ball to him or direct them where they need to be at so he can throw it to them. So, yeah. I mean, he's got good downfield presence. And, he's a major player, you know. But my X factor is going to be, I think, Jacobs. I mean, he – When he runs like a madman, just wants a barrel roll of somebody. I mean, he will knock your head off. I forgot who the guy was. I can't never think of the guy's name for Auburn. He just laid him out the other day, you know.
Yeah.
So I think
Jacobs is a battering ram. He runs so tough. He plays so physical. He's probably one of the better blocking running backs in the open field in college football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I notice a lot on Tua design runs and on jet sweeps to other players, Josh Jacobs is usually the guy leading the pack.
Oh, yeah.
Along with a pulling tackle like Jonah Williams or Jedrick Wills.
Right.
But, you kind of gave the X factor as Josh Jacobs, and I'm kind of going to go like a double X factor. I think the tight ends for each team play a huge role. These are two of the better tight ends in the country. With Irv Smith Jr. at Alabama and Isaac Nauta in Georgia, they're both really talented receiving tight ends, and they're capable of making big plays down the middle of the field. And you know, both guys have had really good years. I think Irv Smith has had a spectacular year. You know, a lot of experts think he'll be the first tight end taken in next year's draft, and he is only a junior this year, so he could come back. But you know, if he's going to be a first round pick, then you know, he probably needs to go ahead and move on and make his money.
Correct.
But I think that's something to watch. Sometimes the tight end's forgotten across the middle of the field. And so I could see one of those two guys making a big contribution for their respective teams. There's a lot of, we could go back and forth position by position because, I mean, I think Alabama and Clemson and probably Ohio State, I know they don't play like it all the time, but they're the most talented teams.
Yeah,
you know, in the country, but Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson just play with more consistency than what Ohio State does.
Mm-hmm.
But To me, I mean, this is just kind of my personal feeling. I feel like the national championship game is being played tomorrow instead of just the SEC championship.
Yeah, I agree.
I truly believe that the winner of this game will probably, you know, I think Alabama would still have an outside chance of making the playoff, depending on how the game went and how the other games fell. But, you know, I believe that Alabama, obviously, I think Alabama's going to win the game, not to get ahead to the predictions, but I think the winner of this game has the upper hand as far as winning the national championship this year, because I think Clemson and Georgia are, you know, 2A and 2B. I still think Alabama's the best team, but Georgia's obviously going to be the toughest test of the season so far for Alabama.
Right.
And obviously Alabama's going to be the toughest test of the season for Georgia. So there's a lot of things and variables to look at in this game. You know, as far as matchup-wise, I think Alabama's offense is better than Georgia's offense. I think Alabama's defense is better than Georgia's defense. Now, I think it's clear that Georgia has the better special teams unit.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama does have a great punt returner in Jalen Waddle. But, you know, Georgia has a great returner as well in Mecole Hardman. He's as good as there is in the country.
Yeah.
And Rodrigo Blankenship is as good a kicker as there is in the country. So, I do think that Georgia – has the advantage in special teams, but I think it's pretty obvious that Alabama has the advantage on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jake Fromm, he's an elite quarterback himself, you know, and
he's really underrated, to be honest.
He is.
He does not get enough credit for what he's done for that program.
Right. And then running backs for Georgia. I mean, that, to me, that's going to be, well, we've got to shut down their, I mean, they got three or four running backs just like we do. And I feel like we've got to shut them down. And, I mean, we kind of picked it up the second half last week against Auburn, but the first half, they was going right up the middle, which we see Alabama stop running plays right up the middle, but Auburn was getting penetration, getting 4 or 5 yards each time, and kind of concerned me, but they straightened up in the second half. But, you know, if we can limit Holyfield and Swift down, I think, and get it to in Jake Fromm's hands, I think he might make a mistake or two. And but another thing to me that I love about this Alabama team is we've seen it ever since Saban's been down there. But not only are our receivers, you know, fast and they catch real good, but they also get downfield and block. I mean, I forgot who it was that had during a touchdown or during a run for a touchdown the other day. Old Ruz was right down there blocking for him.
But both of these teams have receiving cores that are willing to block down the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, help spring big plays for the running backs.
Yeah, and that's
but huge. That's something that's hard to get some wide receivers to buy into.
Right.
Is the physicality part of the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, you mentioned with Georgia's running backs, you know, DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield are as good a 1-2 punch as there is in the country.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I don't think they're quite the Nick Chubb, Sony Michel combination.
Mm-hmm.
I do think – I mean, I don't know that they're quite that good, but they're close. I mean, it's – you're splitting hairs, I think, when you compare those duo running back combinations. And
yeah,
you know, both of them are real close to 1,000 yards. Swift is in the 900s and Holyfield's in the 800s. And, you know, it's really hard to contain them. They got a big offensive, physical offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had to shuffle around guys a lot this year with injuries. And, you know, they got a mauler and true freshman Cade Mays.
Yeah.
You know, they're starting right tackle. Isaiah Wilson's a monster of a human being. He's like 6'7", 350 or, you know, somewhere around in there.
Yeah,
just a big man. You know, so they're going to be able to have a little success in the running game, I believe, tomorrow against Alabama. You know, but I think as long as Alabama, and I know Alabama fans are not going to like hearing this, but I think it's the reality of it, because Georgia is a great football team. I think if Alabama can hold Georgia between 150 and 175 yards rushing, and they run it about 40 to 45 times, I think that's good for Alabama.
Yeah,
because they're not going to be able to win the game rushing it 45 times for 150 yards.
Right.
If they're rushing it 45 times and they get in the 200s, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I think Alabama needs to force the game into Jake Fromm's hands.
I agree.
And to try to make plays with his receivers. You know, I don't think Georgia's receivers are just, you know, what you would call game breakers. Ridley, he's a decent guy. He's not just spectacular. McCole Hardman, he's a decent receiver, and he's a great return guy.
Yeah.
And he's great with in space with the ball. But as far as, you know, getting open and making big plays that way, they're few and far between for the Georgia receivers.
Yeah.
But and I do think that Alabama has the advantage in the secondary with Alabama's big corners. They're able to press up and play man coverage, and I think that would kind of – the one thing you do have to watch now is to me, I don't know if there's a quarterback in college football that throws a better back shoulder ball than Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
He is so accurate with that back shoulder throw, and his timing so perfect with those. So that's something to keep your eye out for. And there's just so many things in this game that I'm excited to watch. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and before we get to our predictions, I wanted to get your take on something. I'll say with this in a second. I'm going to give you my opinion about it too. But, you know, Maynard for Alabama is going to be missing the first half. But he comes in the diamond nickel package. So we got to have a new guy in there because of the targeting penalty. But you know,
you talking about Jared Maiden?
Yes. Yeah. And my feeling on the targeting rule is, you know, to me, when you know, you're always taught from a young age, from pee wee ball all the way through high school to college, that you got to get loaded to tackle a running back, whoever, you know, and whenever a running back, wide receiver, quarterback lowers their head to take the blow and you hit them in the head, I don't see how they're defenseless. That's just my opinion. But to me, they initiate the contact. It shouldn't go against a defensive player. That's just my opinion.
Well, I agree with your kind of thoughts on the defenseless player and all. I mean, first of all, if you're on the football field, you can't be defenseless.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get hit.
Right.
That's part of football.
Yeah.
They need to come up with a different word.
Yeah.
But as far as the Jared Maiden incident, you know, kind of itself, that was the clear-cut rule of targeting. You know, you'd mentioned, you know, you got to get low to, you know, to have good leverage and to make a good hit and a good tackle. Mm-hmm. But you also got to see what you hit. And Jared Maiden had his head down. His eyes were looking at the grass.
That's a good point.
So that's you got to get that. You can't allow that to happen.
Right.
But as far as the rule about players having to sit out games and being thrown out of games, I don't like that part of it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it when the whole Devin White thing was going on. But that's the rule, so you got to play by the rules.
Right.
And, you know, it's next man up. And you know, the senior from Florence, Alabama, Keaton Anderson,
yep.
He's going to have to step up and play the first half. And, you know, the good thing about that is he's an experienced guy. This is his fourth or fifth year. I can't remember if he's a redshirt guy or not. But, you know, he's been in the program at least 4 years now. So he knows the system. He knows where he's supposed to be. But now it's about getting on the field and making plays.
Right.
It's his opportunity to be the next guy up and to kind of prove his worth. You know, I think he's been a great special teams player his whole career down there. So I expect him to fill in, you know, admirably. I think he'll be fine back there.
I do too.
But, you know, it's going to be really exciting to see, you know, kind of what the game plan is for each team. You know, is Alabama going to come out aggressive? And I feel like they will because, you know, that's one way to take Georgia's run game out of the scenario is to get an early lead.
Right.
And I think that's going to be the key to the game and kind of how far into the game that it stays a ball game, if you catch what I'm trying to say. How, you know, if Alabama jumps ahead, that makes it harder for Georgia because they rely so much on DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield to carry that offense.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if Alabama jumps out early, it'll be harder on Georgia.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, it's vice versa for Georgia. You know, they need to if they get the ball first, they need to have a control game. They need to keep the ball away from two and the Alabama offense. So it's going to be a cat and mouse game. I'm really excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it has a chance to be, you know, one of the better games of the season. But, you know, we're going to move on to our predictions now. I'm going to let Jake go first and kind of give his real quick synopsis of how he thinks the game's going to play out in his final score prediction?
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the line for right now, and it's a 13-point spread right now in Alabama's favor, and I think it's going to be around that. I think Alabama's going to win by at least two or three touchdowns. You know, I just feel like overall Alabama is the superior team here. I mean, Georgia's got playmakers. They got a great coach. I mean, he coached under Saban, so I mean he knows what Saban does. But I, you know, talent wise, Alabama is few, you know, far ahead of everybody else. And I'm thinking the game, you know, I think the first half, like you said, cat and mouse game. It might be close at halftime, but seems like second half Alabama just, you know, comes out and they just play and blow everybody out. So I think, you know, like I said, it'd be close at halftime, but Alabama's going to win, I think, 38-21.
Okay. So, you know, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I don't agree with that Alabama is far superior as far as talent goes. I think Georgia has, you know, pretty much the same amount of talent as Alabama. I mean, you're starting to split hairs, you know, when you're talking one or two different type of players. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Alabama has Tua, who has kind of transcended the position of quarterback at Alabama.
Right.
But you're really, you know, kind of stretching it when you say that Alabama is just so much more talented than Georgia. I think Georgia is one of the most talented teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference to me for Alabama is Coach Saban.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between Alabama and the Clemsons and the Ohio States and the Georgias of the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm moving on to my prediction. You know, I feel like the last couple of weeks, you know, against the Citadel and against Auburn, Alabama didn't have the start to the game that Coach Saban would want or that the team would want. They kind of come out lethargic and, you know, not really having a pep in their step to start the game, and they've really turned it on in the second half.
Right.
I really see Alabama putting a good 60-minute football game together and playing one of their most complete football games of the season. And that doesn't mean that I think they're going to just completely blow Georgia out of the water, because Georgia has a lot of talent and they can kind of play with Alabama. But as far as execution and precision goes, both offensively and defensively, I feel like Alabama is going to play a solid 60-minute game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia's obviously going to come out ready to play. They kind of got revenge on their mind after losing in heartbreaking fashion in the national championship game.
Yeah.
But, you know, emotional can only carry you so far. I do think Alabama gets a hot start. I think Georgia's fighting their way back the whole entire game. And in the early to mid fourth quarter, Alabama kind of breaks their wheel, pulls away, maybe gets a couple more late scores. And I'm going to say Alabama wins the game 41-20.
Oh, wow. All right. So we're about right there together on a prediction wise. So,
yeah, I just feel like that over the course of 60 minutes, I think Tua will play the whole game. It's just a little too much for Georgia to keep up with for, you know, the entirety of a fourth quarter and or of a four quarter game.
Right.
But you know, and you know, like we say it every week, anything could happen. You know, that's the beauty of college football, especially right now. There's so much parity. I know it don't feel like much parity to other teams across the country, because Alabama has been in every playoff since the inception of the playoff.
Correct.
And they've won it. I think they've won it three. Is it? No, they've won it two of 4 years. Is that what it is? Or
I think so. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just crazy to think about. It kind of seems like Alabama and Clemson are destined for another match in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all we have for today. This is our SEC championship, you know, special on the Double Coverage podcast. Remember to give us a follow on Twitter at @DoubleCov_pod. You can follow myself at Blackwood89. Jake, tell them where they can follow you at.
JTH Double Cover One.
Yeah, so give us a shout on Twitter. You know, if you like what you hear, if you don't like what you hear, Give us some talking points. Give us your thoughts and your analysis of the game or any conference championship game for that matter. And we just look forward to hearing from you. We're really enjoying doing these podcasts. I know we say that every week, but it's just a lot of fun to do this and share our love for college football and for sports in general with you guys. We appreciate the support, and we hope y'all have a good weekend.
See y'all.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.